Good morning. Our first reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and 5. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing at all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, and all those who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. God's word is life. Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. It's about bread today. I want to tell you a little story. I'm going to tell you a lot of stories, but this is a little one to start with. It's not even written down. Between 1982 and 1990, we were living in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, and I was attending the seminary, and Duncan was the priest in an Anglican church called Christ Church. And we had people coming to our door for food all the time, like all the time. And I said to my father-in-law, who was staying with us for a few weeks, how do they know that they'll get some food when they come to our house? And he said, you have a tree in front of the house? And we said, oh, yes. He said, on the tree, there'll be a mark. He said, that's what we did during the Dirty 30s. If there was a mark on the tree outside the house, people would know that they would be given food. And you know what? We went outside and we looked at the tree, and indeed, there was a mark on the tree to say that if you come to this house, they'll give you something to eat. I guess if you didn't have the mark, they just walked by your house. And luckily, they didn't walk by our house. They came. Now, today's about bread. Now, how many people here had some kind of bread for breakfast? Put your hand up if you did. More than half, right? More than half. Bread, it's everywhere. I believe that's why Jesus talked about it, because it was something that almost every culture understood, bread. Some of you that come to the congregation regularly know that in our younger days, we served overseas, a year in Chile, 5 years in Ecuador, and 4 years later on in Hong Kong. When we were in Chile, we discovered that they had a wonderful bread that they made. And you went to the market or you went to the little tiendas, and there they would be in big boxes. And it was almost a flat bread, but it was about this high. And it was wonderful. And during our year there, I really loved it. But I didn't find out how to make it. But in 1976, the Chilean refugees came to Canada. And you might remember, we were living in the Battlefords in Saskatchewan, a town of 2,000 people. And the local government office called up and said, we heard that you people speak Spanish. And we said, oh. And then they said, we wondered if we could talk to Duncan. So they talked to Duncan. And the government said, we'd like you to help the Chileans that are coming to the Battlefords. You might not know, but the Chileans were all assigned to cities and towns across Canada so that they wouldn't all accumulate in one place. They were spread out. So you can imagine coming from 5 million to a couple of thousand. Anyway, they came to Canada. And three families came into the Battlefords. One family we became particularly close with, the Navarros. He was an Albanista. He built brick and stone fences. And he was kicked out of Chile, literally, because he was the head of the union. And so after Mr. Allende was murdered, Mr. Pinochet said, it's out or you're dead. So the family went to Argentina, and then came to Canada, and then to the Battlefords. Well, they were in a hotel room, and you have four children and two adults, and it's kind of inconvenient. So we decided that we would invite them to live with us. Of course, we were only five. We had Duncan and myself and the three little McLeans, and so we just said, oh, you may as well come and stay with us until you get settled. So we settled in. After all, we had four bedrooms. That was lots, and we could fit everybody in. So they came. And we had a wonderful time. And the first morning, you know, I think I cooked something like scrambled eggs, and we had toast and jam and stuff like that. And it was all very nice. And the next morning, I was laying in bed. You can just see me there, thinking, what are we going to have for today? And suddenly, I realized, I smelled something really nice. And Carla had gotten out of bed very early and made the wonderful Chilean bread that I loved, hot out of the oven, split in half, butter. No butter. Chileans don't put butter on the bread. But we had butter and jam and peanut butter and other stuff and cheese and coffee and juice and milk. And you know what? They stayed with us for weeks and weeks and weeks. I never heard a quarrel. I never heard anybody argue. I never heard anybody bang on the bathroom door and say, it's my turn. Everybody just calmly went about their business, and the McLeans talked English and Spanish back and forth. And before we finally left and went to Ecuador, Duncan taught Oscar how to drive. And people in the Battlefords were very cautious because most Chileans couldn't drive. They couldn't afford a car. And here he had to have a car. And Duncan taught him how to drive. And not only did he teach him how to drive, but we had a big old station wagon. And before we left, we sold him very cheaply our station wagon. And off we went to Ecuador. The bread. I've never forgotten it. But you know what was more important than the bread? It was the fellowship that we had with each other. It was hearing their stories about their life. It was hearing about their needs and their desires and their plans for the future. Well, you'd be happy to know that the children are all in Canada and that they're all in the health field from coast to coast. They've become great Canadians, and we're proud to have known them. Then we went to Ecuador later. Did they have bread in Ecuador? Yes. Little breads like this, and little tiendas about half the size of your garage if you have one. And I'd send the children down to the store, and they'd bring home this little bag of bread. It would cost about a penny a piece, and if you were really lucky, it was hot, and it was lovely. It was familiar. It was something that we all knew, bread. Jesus said, we are the bread of life. He said, he's the bread, and we are the bread too. And I'm going to say something that you probably will think it's a strange idea, but I've been thinking about it all week. I think that Jesus wants us to ingest the bread, to become like him. Now, there's just one more story about the bread. We're living in Hong Kong, and we go off to visit Beijing. Now, what do you want to have most of all to eat in Beijing?
A hot dog.
No. He said a hot dog. That's a yit gao in Chinese. You don't want it. No, no. You want to have Peking duck, right? We're in this tiny little restaurant. We were the only foreigners, and there were these pictures on the wall. And we're trying to have this conversation with our few words of Cantonese. We're having this conversation that we want to go somewhere and have Peking duck. And the lady goes to the back of the restaurant, and she brings out this book. It's this big. And in that book is English, and then the characters for Chinese beside it. So she hands us the book, and we find Peking duck, and then she says, ah. She rushes to the door. There's a little door there, and she goes out in the hallway, and she points up the stairs. We walk up the stairs, and there's a restaurant only serving Peking ducks. But we just had lunch. But later that night, we came back and went up the restaurant, and we were the only foreigners, so we weren't paying the inflated price. We were paying the price that a Chinese person would pay for Peking duck. But this is so amazing to me. They brought the duck to the table on a plate. It was all thinly, thinly sliced. Then they brought the green onions, the plain white ones with the green ends, those ones. Then they brought some soy sauce, quite thick. And then they brought the little wee pancakes, skinny, skinny, skinny bread. The idea, you put the duck on the pancake, You put the green onion on top of the duck. You put the soy sauce on top of it, and you fold the little pancake, and you eat the Peking duck. Fabulous. So if you go to Peking, Beijing, be sure to ask for the local. Not what they give the foreigners, but be sure to ask what they give to the people. The bread. It's common to all of us. And if you go to Mexico, what do you get? Tortillas. Go to Mazatlan, beside the local market, tiny little restaurant. Your local foreigners, that's us. We're in the restaurant. What do we get? First of all, we pay $4 each. We get a drink. We get a main course, fish or chicken or pork or something. And we get a whole little container, at least 12 tortillas, bread, all around the world. It makes a difference. Jesus talked about bread all the time. He fed the 5,000 with bread. You know, Jesus had this funny idea that when he came to earth and that he talked about us loving and caring for each other, that we would feed the poor, we would feed the hungry, that we would care for each other. Is that too much to ask, I wonder? We need to think about bread differently. We ingest the bread. It becomes part of us. So who do you want to be like? Think about it. Who do you admire? Who, if you said, who would you like to be like the most, who would you think of? Well, think about Jesus, the Son of God, who came to earth and showed us how to live and showed us how to love each other. Did he say, I want you to beat each other up? I don't think so. Did he say he wanted the poor to be fed? What about the children? He said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever met a child that's been tortured or beaten? I have. Way, way back in that Chile, all those years ago, we worked for a short time at a children's home. And we had a little wee boy. He was about 6 or 7. And we called him Wasso, and that's cowboy. Wasso had marks all over him. And I said, what in the world happened to him? And they said, well, when he did something wrong, his father used to beat him with barbed wire. Not very nice. Well, we could tell you stories about children here in Canada. Same thing happens. Beaten up, abused. That's not how we're to treat children. We're to love them. That's not how we're to treat each other. We're not supposed to be beating each other up. We're supposed to be caring for each other. So if we ingest the bread and we become like Jesus, and we can, not perfect like him, isn't it always a struggle to do the right thing? Anybody here ever done anything wrong? Not those boys back there. I'm a mother, I have sons, I know. Are you kidding? Is there anyone here that could say they've never done something wrong? My mother said that if I did something wrong and I came and told her the truth, yes, I did it, that all would be well. And she was right. And when she said to me, Beverly Ann Drake, I knew I was in trouble. So if your mother or father ever call you by your whole name, you're in trouble. And I haven't been called that for a long time. Life can be different, but not just for us. We're lucky, aren't we? most of us. Oh, yeah, we crab once in a while, you know. You might walk by a bicycle a kid's got that's better than you have, or you might, somebody that you know might have a better car or a better house. But in reality, most of us here have had a pretty decent life. Isn't that right? And we are to be the bread in the world. So we absorb good things. I meet people all the time that are so good. Her name was Kay Foster. She lived at Swift Current, Saskatchewan. She lived in a very small house, and it wasn't fancy at all. And she didn't drive or have a fancy car, and she walked to church every Sunday. Well, Duncan and I were going away for a couple of days, and our youngest son was giving us some trouble. That never happens in your family, I'm sure. But it did in ours. And we didn't want to leave him in the house alone. He could drive, and he had a job. So I said to Kay, could Dawn come and stay with you for about 4 or 5 days? And she said, yes. Oh, thanks. Anyway, Dawn took the car and took his clothes and went over to stay with Mrs. Foster. So when we came back, I said, and how was it, Kay? I thought, oh, she said it was wonderful. She said, whatever I cooked, Dawn just sat and ate. When I had to go to the doctor, Dawn hustled me out to the car and took me over to the doctor. When I had to go to visit a friend, he hustled me out to the car. When I had to do the grocery shopping, instead of walking to get the groceries, Dawn was there with the car, taking me everywhere I wanted to go. It was wonderful. And Dawn came home and he said, you know what, Mrs. Foster's, it was really nice. I felt, well, wasn't it nice here too? Anyway, it was really nice. And we had two ladies in Swift Current. They both used to play the piano. One played the piano at a little wee church in East End, Saskatchewan. You might remember East End. That was the famous place where they discovered the dinosaurs and stuff, since we lived there. Anyway, this was a tiny little town, a tiny little church, and Gloria played the organ. Gloria, who came from Bermuda, played the organ in that church for 50 years. Now, you think she would have been worn out, but I was doing some services in a nursing home, so I had Gloria, who was over 80, and I had Velvon, she was over 82, and they both said, Bev, if you come and pick us up, we'll come and we'll play for the nursing home. And they did. And there wouldn't be just one service. There'd be two services on Friday and two services at these nursing homes on Sunday. So that went 4 times in 3 days. They were so good. I said to myself, when I get to be that old, I just hope I'm as good as they are. And I'm getting mighty close. We give what we can. They had the talent. They could sit down like Daniel and play the piano, and they made a difference in everyone's life. Whatever talent you have, give it to Jesus and let the world be a better place because you live in it, because you're part of the world, and you're not here just for yourself. We're here for the world. We are the bread of life. We are Jesus walking around, showing what it's like to be better than we could ever be ourselves. I don't know about you, but I think I'd be kind of a wretch. I'd want to do my own thing. I'd want to go where I want it to go. I'd want to have this and that. And that when Jesus says, I listen. Listen to his voice. He'll never steer you wrong and be the bread in the world. As we meet week by week, we hear the word. We listen to the word. It makes a difference. The stories, they become familiar to us. and they have meaning in our lives. So let's go forth from this place to change, not only change us, but change the world that we live in. Amen.
Amen.